Well, good morning and welcome to session 28. Recording this for everyone who might be listening in on the internet. And we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise for the blessings of this day, for this opportunity to gather together and study your word. Open our hearts and minds to all that you would have us learn this day directly from you and the power of your spirit and from each other as you enlighten and reveal and illuminate. So be with us now. This is our time to be in your presence, and we are grateful. We pray all this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As Jeff always starts with the reminder that the overarching themes of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, his quote from R.P. Martin, that this letter dwells profoundly on the person of Jesus Christ and the church. So we're going to start, and we're actually, because this is all such one powerful section, we've been looking at the armor of God, and it's important to just be reminded of all that. So if someone would please read for us Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, all the way through the end of the letter, verse 24. Thank you.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bill. Amen. Last week we were not able to complete the lesson and go all the way through verse 18, so Jeff asked if we could start with that today. And I also, because it was Jeff has so many wonderful insights, I wanted to share what he had written down in the study from last week, both regarding the sword of the Spirit and prayer from verses 17 and 18. So I'm just going to read that from Jeff. We need to understand that the true battle position for the believer is that of prayer, birthed of the Holy Spirit through a wholehearted surrender to Him, employing the Word of God in intercession for the saints. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Scripture, written upon the yielded heart, is available to the renewed mind, to be spoken with Christ's authority into the moment of trial, with cutting power, to accomplish the will of God in sanctifying the believer, bringing glory to Christ, and crushing Satan and all his demonic schemes. I just really appreciate that Jeff was given the just powerful words, the sword of the Spirit and the power of prayer. So as we look at verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And the question being asked is, what is prayer? What is prayer for you?
I think of it as communicating with God, whether, you know, be asking for help with some situation or for praising him or whatever. It's having that open communication with him.
Amen. Thank you.
Communication was the word that came to my mind, too.
Mm-hmm. Mine, too.
And what is it about communication that's... I would just offer what strikes me. I agree with that. I think communication, but the concept of communication is two ways.
Yeah. Well, listen, too.
We're listening as well as speaking.
You can't. No relationship can be sustained without communication.
And then having it flow.
And the good news about communicating with God is he totally understands you. He doesn't misunderstand what you're saying.
Hey, folks.
Morning, Joe.
Morning, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
He understands it.
Yeah.
And he will change your mind if he has to, which he usually does, so.
Yes. So it's an active two-way dialogue,
right.
not a monologue.
Yes. Listening to.
It's listening as well as speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. And when you picture prayer, quite physically, one of the questions Jeff asked, what is the proper posture for prayer? And there's no one answer here, obviously. But, you know, how do you pray when you're praying? If you're praying all the time, you're obviously praying in different postures.
Mm-hmm.
Pray when you're driving the car. You know, pray in the privacy of your own home, in your own room, in your office, in the store. But when you are devoted to prayer, and the first thing in the morning or last thing in the evening, what kind of posture do you adopt physically? Kneel, sit?
Well, I usually kneel. But, praying, the Jewish people, I understood, would look up to heaven. They didn't close their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They would look up to heaven with their hands raised and praise God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, honestly, my position is relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually very relaxed, and I get more relaxed as I start to pray.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Wonderful.
I have bar soap.
You have a
shower?
Bar soap. I'm in the shower. Seriously. I hear more from God in the shower.
I do too.
Almost any other time. If nothing's going, I'm just praying.
I know. Wow.
You know, and wow. It's just wonderful. When everything else finally stops, wherever that is,
yeah.
That's when I get this. So it's always in the morning, too.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, your mind is not cluttered with the things of the day, yeah. And you can allow the Holy Spirit just to show you things. That's really it's funny, but it really is praying without ceasing. So if it's praying without ceasing, then it's got to be throughout the course of the day, and it's got to be in your element wherever that is,
right.
whether you're in a meeting, whether you're out mowing the lawn, whatever you're doing,
right.
You know, it really is irrelevant whether I'm on my knees or whether I'm, you know, in a plane or if I'm on the lawnmower, whatever I'm doing, it doesn't really matter as long as, you know. You're surrendered, your mind, your will, your emotions, and say, Lord, I'm in this situation. Lord, help me.
Amen.
Or what is it that you have for me today? You know,
yeah. Speak to me.
Yeah.
Please.
So it's an attitude of knowing that you're Christ's child, knowing that you belong to him, and knowing that you can come honestly because he knows anyways,
mm-hmm.
But also expecting him to communicate with you, but it's also one of real honor. You know he's God, so
amen.
There's a lot of elements to it.
Amen. Amen. I included Jeff. Jeff has a wonderful quote from Alan Redpath, and I cannot do the English accent the way Jeff does, so I won't even try. Okay, but Alan Redpath, a well-known minister, said that the proper attitude for prayer is having wet eyes and bent knees and a broken heart. And his whole point was that coming to prayer, really especially prayer of intercession, is when you have God's heart for the world. That's fine. Good morning.
Good to see everybody.
Fill a room.
There's some extra, Joe, some extra handouts right there, I think. And those are last week's.
Those are last week's.
So this is today's,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks,
good morning, all. Great to see you.
Glad you're healthy.
Glad you're healthy. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're focusing on verses 18 through 24 today. We're actually finishing the letter. We've been looking at verse 18. And we've asked the question, what is prayer? And we've been talking about the proper posture for prayer, and there is no right answer for that. God will give you, you know, whatever in the moment and wherever you are. As Bill shared, we are called to pray unceasingly. So wherever you are, sitting, standing, walking, moving, driving, communicating, talking with someone, a good time for prayer. But if anyone would like to think about that and share with us, when you ask the question, what is prayer, what does prayer mean to you? If anyone would like to share, what does prayer mean to you? I will share with you that what we talked about was communication, that it's communication with God. And by saying communication, it's a dialogue. It's listening as well as speaking, but it's being in his presence and sharing with him. Even though he already knows our exact situation, sometimes when we put words to it, it helps clarify it for us. And then we can listen to what he wants us to understand about whatever that situation is, or a relationship, whatever it might be. So maybe the most important thing for you, I mean, prayer is amazing. What's most amazing? What are amazing aspects about the reality of prayer for you?
Change.
Okay. The power.
I get changed.
Amen.
And I really need to change most of the time.
Mm-hmm. So transformation is happening through this communication with God. Praise God.
Amen. Transformation of attitudes.
My attitude, my thought life, my fear, everything gets changed. I just come away different. And I'm always really grateful for it.
Amen.
I don't know how he does it. But thoughts pop into your head. You get a different perspective. He'll put a scripture in your heart. Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. But you know it's going to happen. Because you know he hears you, and he knows that you want to be his child and you want to do his will. So, I mean, it's funny when a situation will happen and you react so differently and you realize, my goodness, the Lord has changed me.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do anything. You just told him about it. And you realize, wow, I'm not the same person I was.
Amen.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, when you're in prayer, you know, it's like, you know, if you get one word from the Lord, it totally brings a calming, a peace, mm-hmm. a confidence, mm-hmm. a faith, mm-hmm. a trust, a hope, you know, and it changes your whole perspective. So it's just, all God has to do is say one thing to you, and mm-hmm. it changes you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think when the combination of those from Tansy and Bill, those combination of those thoughts dovetails so well with the fact that when I look at prayer, I look at it as the place of you had mentioned communication. Where was it right between man and God? Was in the garden, and so ultimately, what you have is you have a place of. Prayer is that place where we can be united back the way that we used to be, if you will. We used to be in the garden. The way that God intended it to be. And so now why is there that peace? Why is there that confidence? Why is that change? Because it's in that place that God originally intended the spirit between God and man to be united. and to be whole.
Amen.
So we're going back to that place. He's given us something that we still once had before sin came. Prayer is the thing that is perfect. Prayer is the thing that transcends the inmost being. And so what it does is it brings us back to a place of our Heavenly Father, our Creator, to where the communication is at its purest form, which is the real reason, if you look at it, that's what Jesus did. He went off in his times of early morning, and they went off and they went constantly. Yep. It's the one thing you find in the scriptures about Jesus. He went off in that time of prayer. Why? Yeah. Because ultimately he knew that that communication, that place with his Heavenly Father, if he was going to do the will of his Father, if he was going to obey him, if he was going to do the things that his Father asked him to do, he had to know what it was all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably, when we talk sometimes, I know it's come up about prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus went ahead and he, there was a man who had a son who was thrown into the fire.
Right.
And the man says, I went to your disciples, they couldn't do it.
Right.
Couldn't cast the demon out. Jesus goes ahead and does it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns to his disciples when his disciples question. He said, some can only come out by prayer and fasting. And I always said to myself, Jesus had to know that was coming. He had to know that was coming. Because
right.
he didn't stop and say, come back tomorrow, I'll pray and fast about it. No,
right.
he did it.
Right.
So it means he already did something
right.
because his Father had told him, but this is what was going to happen. So to me, that just talks about, You can know that the day that you're going through something, that God will bring it about. So,
Amen.
Anyway, those are my thoughts.
Amen. And isn't that amazing? I mean, that's an amazing. It's amazing to me that prayer is possible. We come into the throne room of the Creator of the universe and communicate with Him. And it's amazing to me that He wants us to. He really says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. He's not trying to be mysterious or hidden. He wants to reveal his will. He shows us how. Jesus taught us how to pray. Amazing. And the one who created everything wants to have a conversation. Thank you, Lord.
Did you give the Ellen Redpath quote?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I did, about the proper posture from Jeff.
Okay.
About having wet eyes and bent knees
okay.
and a broken heart.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
that we, you know, come with God's heart for the pain in the world and the people who need to know Him, who need to be healed by Him, who need to have relationship with Him through His Son, and we bring that in our time of prayer. We worshiped in a church once where the pastor shared that there were times during his prayer time when in his office he literally would lay down on the floor and just face down on the floor, you know, in prayer. Sometimes he would kneel at the sofa in his office and other times. So it's however the Holy Spirit moves you. There's never one way. It's how the Holy Spirit is calling you in that moment, on that day, to be in conversation and communication with our loving Father. Okay. Verses 19 and 20, Paul asks prayers for himself. A wonderful prayer that whenever I open my mouth, words would be given to him, that he would make known, speak fearlessly, make known the mystery of the gospel. And as I went through this, I kind of said, okay, that's kind of a mystery to me. I've already forgotten what's the mystery of the gospel. So if someone would go back and read for us Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. How quickly I forget.
I'll read it for you. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law or by
excuse me. I think that's Ephesians 3.
Oh,
chapter 3.
Galatians. I was saying it doesn't sound right. All right, let's try again. I went back too many pages. Okay. Sorry, guys. Let's try again. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together with one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power.
Amen. Thank you.
Did I get the right one?
Yes. So the mystery of the gospel, that Gentiles and Jews in Christ are all inheritors of the promises of God. We are one people in Christ. No separation. So Paul was sharing this. This revelation had been given to him. He was sharing this good news, and it got him arrested. So when he talks about being an ambassador in chains, again, just as a reminder, that's not a typo. It looks like a typo. Acts 21:22. Those are the two chapters in Acts where Paul is back in Jerusalem and he's speaking to the people, and there's a real uproar, and the Roman guard arrests him. And before they take him off, he says, "Can I please speak to the people?" And he starts to speak to them in Aramaic. And at that point, they all settled down and said, "Okay, this man is one of us. So let's listen to him." So they're listening very intently to him until it gets to Acts chapter 22, verses 21 and 22. So if someone could read those for us. Acts chapter 22, verses 21 and 22.
Then the Lord said to me, "Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles." The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, "Rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live."
Wow. There you go. So the moment he said, you know, "The Lord is sending me to the Gentiles," the Jews could not accept that.
Yeah.
We are the chosen people. We,
yeah,
and we alone.
Yeah.
Don't tell us that. Put them to death.
Wow.
And that's why he ultimately ended up arrested. The Romans were about to flog him until he shared with them he was a Roman citizen. And they said, "Whoa," you know. That's why Acts is so wonderful. I'm so grateful. We're just starting this morning a sermon series on the books of the Acts of the Apostles. So we're going to obviously learn more about this as we go through with Pastor Michael. But that's what got him arrested. That's ultimately caused the uproar. That when he said, "I'm a minister, the Lord has made me a minister to the Gentiles," they could not accept it. And so I think the lesson for us is, let's be very careful about the Lord being, the Lord is at work, reaching out. You know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, let's be careful if we're ever tempted to say someone is beyond reach, because no one is beyond reach. No one. Every human being is a creation of God, and every human being is a potential child of God, in the sense that if the Lord reveals himself to them and he receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he becomes part of the inheritance, becomes a child of God, has that Abba Father relationship with God through Christ. That's a potential for every human being as we sit here right now. So let's never write anybody off, anyone, because God, nothing is impossible for God, and we pray for them. So now Paul prays to be fearless. He mentions that word a couple of times. "Pray that I will fearlessly make known the mystery." Let me declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, what did we just read? I mean, he knew how they were going to react,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He knew how the Jews were going to react. He knew how but he had to say it.
Yeah.
So the only way that he's going to do that is if the boldness is given to him by the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we see all through our Acts how, yeah, you know, they're condemned or they're attacked or they're threatened or they're beaten or whatever they
punished,
are.
Punished, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, the Acts 4 experience happens time and time again where they come before the Lord and he gives them boldness of speech and the Holy Spirit falls upon them. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to be going through those same kind of things in these days coming ahead, you know. Or we're getting threatened more and more to be silent in certain areas.
Yeah.
What are we going to do, you know? Apart from this life of prayer and communication and fellowship with the Lord, we won't do it, you know. We'll back down at some point, without the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we have to be in fellowship with him at all times. Because when we don't, we start falling back. And we start second-guessing, or we start questioning, or we say, oh, it's not such a big deal if I didn't say this time. I know your Holy Spirit led me to do this, but maybe it's next time. Maybe it's next time. Yeah. We have to... Paul coveted those prayers, and we need them as well. You know, so this is an example to us.
Amen. Yeah. I'm really good at rationalizing.
Yes, aren't we all?
Are you sure you wanted me to do that? But here's the reality: when we speak the truth in love, there are people who will stand against us in a heartbeat. Because they're blinded, and not only is this foolishness to them, but it's threatening to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it may be painful to them if we're speaking the truth in love. People have spoken the truth in love to me, and it hurts. It's the sword of the Spirit who's cutting me to help me realize that there's the place I need to let him change me and heal me and transform me. But it's all of those things. So it's only with courage and encouragement that we can in fact do this. And so this is a really powerful prayer for us to be fearless, to trust God for the outcome. You know, God knows. I mean, that's the bottom line about every moment of our lives. God knows. He knows what's happening. He knows what's happening in the other person. He knows what's happening around us. He knows. And if we can trust ourselves to him, that surrendered heart and mind, and that trusting in him, out of that can come the obedience to the call of the Holy Spirit in whatever it is we are to say or not to say, you know, when we are to listen, when we're just to have a heart for that other person and be present for them. All of those things, the Holy Spirit will guide us. But it takes our willingness to obey. And we do need prayers to be fearless, because we will face opposition. That's just the reality of the world.
And we also have to understand that sometimes we'll be delivered from a difficult situation, and other times we won't be.
Because
they weren't delivered all the time.
God's.
So we really need to be praying to be fearless.
Yeah. Amen. Verses 21 and 22, as Paul is concluding his letter to the Ephesians, there's a wonderful personal touch here that he has sent Tychicus not only to deliver this letter, and this apparently was one of those kind of multiple community letters. About half of Ephesians is also recorded in Colossians, so kind of thinking there was this letter that was being sent around to the various churches. Mm-hmm. But he sent Tychicus to kind of add, it wasn't just the reading of the letter, but it was a sharing of how Paul's doing and how everybody with Paul is doing. You know, just this... in addition to what I'm writing to you, Tychicus will fill in the blanks and answer your questions and just kind of give you an update on, you know, I'm in prison, you know, whether it's house arrest or a real institution, whatever it is, but Tychicus will fill you in and encourage you, you know. So just a wonderful image that's important. That's important that in the family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, there's no lone ranger. There's no one who survives alone. You know, we're called to share our journeys, which means being vulnerable. And so I just asked the question here, something to think about and share, if you'd like, you know, how are you at sharing your journey with other members in the body? And how are you at letting others share with you? Are you approachable? Sometimes it can be kind of easy. You get one-on-one with someone and you want to tell your story. You know? Sometimes it's harder to be one-on-one and say, what's happening with you? You know, tell me about what's...
Or vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. So if anyone would like to share any thoughts about how they're doing, if they feel good about it, if there are things they would like to be stronger in, be more vulnerable in.
I think back to when I was a young Christian, and it doesn't have to be a, you know, a big prepared thing to share with somebody that will spur people on. I had a friend of mine in college, and I knew he would always come up to me, not on a daily basis, but regularly. He would say, "So Bill, what's the Lord sharing with you?" And believe it or not, that spurred me to spend more time with the Lord, because I'm like, he's going to ask me, I'm going to have absolutely nothing. Okay,
that's right. Yeah.
So it spurred me just to
spend. Yeah.
That's all he said, one thing, and that was what, 30 years ago, and it's still. So it shows you what one phrase can, how it can affect somebody when the Holy Spirit, you know, breathes on it.
That's from an unbeliever to a believer.
Well, he was a believer.
Oh, he was a believer.
Yeah, he was.
I had the same experience with Margaret Burt. Many of you met the Burts that came and did the weekend seminar with us. Every time I've seen her, I mean, since the day I met her, the first thing she does is she asks me what the Lord is showing me. And I have a little bit, usually. And she says, look at what the Lord showed me. And she sits down and we have like an hour Bible study. And it doesn't matter if I haven't seen her in 2 years and she comes over and calls me from Pennsylvania on the phone. And I learn. I'm like just taking notes because the Lord is always showing her things. And she gets up every night in the middle of the night and writes a devotional. And it goes out to like 1,800 people because the Lord has shown her. So this woman is just always expecting God to show her stuff.
Amen.
And he is.
Amen.
You know, and it does. It so inspires me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got a thing on my phone this morning. It's about patience. Mm-hmm. Lord gave her last night.
The Psalms say that. The Psalms say we wait in expectation upon the Lord. You know, that's what he wants from us, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, what a great thing. I mean, if somebody's waiting for you when you come in the door versus walking in the door and they don't care that you walked in. I mean, you know, the Lord is looking for us to be expecting him to be there for us and to communicate with us. And I just think that, you know, he tells us that, you know. I think we, you know, the things of this world, they come in and they choke out that real truth of what really matters, you know.
They sure try.
Yeah.
The scriptures tell us that we should have an answer always for that hope that is in us.
Yeah, and Peter.
I especially love hearing testimonies of other people. I know what mine is, and I just like to see the way other people came to the Lord. Some people, very simply, they were born into it, and they stayed faithful their whole lives to it. Others, you know, through the peaks and valleys, and I just think there's so many testimonies that... Interesting testimony.
Well, they encourage your faith.
It's fantastic.
Well, I think just as we are uniquely and wonderfully made, each one of our stories is unique. God knows them all. But you're right. It is. That's a blessing. Thanks, Joe. I would encourage all of us to be good listeners and to be present for not only members of our church family, but everyone we encounter, you know, through the day. If we remember there are only two kinds of people. There are people who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and there are those who don't. And for many reasons, you know, people who don't, because they've been blinded. It wasn't a choice. They're just blinded by the God of this age. And so they're lost, and they're stumbling, even if they don't recognize it yet. But our, you know, God wants us to be his witnesses, meaning that we're just present in him for them. That's a discipline.
Yeah.
And takes intentional, a willingness to do that.
It's fun, it's funny that, you know, he brought up, Joe brought up the fact that, you know, always be ready to give an answer. And Loretta and I are trying to rent the in-law apartment above our home because our tenant is leaving. So we've gotten a lot of people coming, and we had a couple come yesterday. Actually, it was a young girl with her uncle, you know, who came to kind of supervise, you know.
Right.
So we ended up talking outside, and I don't know. Oh, we were talking about plants. Something about different plants, this and that. And Loretta had mentioned that jewel weed was a good remedy for poison ivy. And you know, and so we're in this conversation, and the guy just says, "Yeah, Mother Nature just has an answer for everything," you know. And I just, you know, it's those times, you know, that you can feel the spiritual battle that goes on, because somebody who doesn't know Christ speaks freely about what they believe.
Absolutely.
Mother Nature, but you know, they have no problem talking about it. But then you come back and you say, well, I don't know if I should really share anything, you know. And for me, that was never the case. Me, usually they would hear about Christ before they even mentioned Mother Earth.
Right.
But the Lord has taught me to be a listener, and so for me, I want to hear where they're at. So I just, you know, I just said to him, I says, yeah, I says, it's amazing. God is amazing. I said, he is an amazing designer. And matter of fact, I used something that Catherine said to me earlier in the week. She said, because she told me this thing about Ronald Reagan, and I said, I relayed the story to this gentleman and his niece, and I said, you know, I said, my daughter said something neat to me this week. I said, she said, Ronald Reagan said that if he ever had an atheist come into to the White House, he would serve the most wonderful meal to that atheist, and then he would tell him, but there's really no cook back there. You know, there's really no cook back there. And so I just began that conversation with this gentleman. But, you know, there's the enemy does not want us to, when the prompting of the Holy Spirit comes, immediately there's a spiritual battle that says, well, you know, be kind to the gentleman. Or don't, you know, but no, you need to, you know. And so we did. We talked a little bit about, you know, God being a creator. You know, that there's nothing by an accident. There's nothing by, you know, mere chance, you know. So it's just, we have to recognize and be discerning, you know, about whether that spirit of God is telling us, yeah, I don't need you to testify. Well, you know, that ain't God. you know, that ain't the right spirit.
Nobody's ever said that. Yeah.
So that was easy. You know, it just works out to where God will give you that opportunity when you are, like Paul says here, when you're that ambassador, whether in chains or not, he'll give you that opportunity.
And in so many cases, you had said that's somebody's belief, but I don't really think that's their belief. In so many cases, I think they just have, like, it's just what's been infiltrated into their mind, so it comes natural to say that. That's right. Common, that's comfortable, that's acceptable. But so you have to, you know, by you being in there deliberately saying something of truth, that's what's going to grab them.
Well, they believe it, whether they mentally...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I just meant it's like you made a choice to follow Christ.
Right.
I don't think that one day they said, okay, this is it, I'm taking the dive, I'm going for Mother Nature.
Right, but that's exactly it. By bringing the truth, you're basically confronting what they believe.
You are.
You know?
Do you
really believe that?
Right. Yeah.
Do you really believe Mother Nature? What are you really saying? Yeah. You're saying that God is our creator. He's the one who's designed everything. You know?
Amen.
And that's really what you're doing, is you're taking the covering off of the words that they're speaking to reveal truth.
Right.
You know? You, in your heart, you know that there's a creator. You know it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Nobody else may have ever told them that.
Yeah.
Right. So your job is to say, hey, that's my creator you're talking about, you know?
Yep.
You may have, you know, coated it with a wax paper or
something
cellophane, you know?
That is culturally, you know, acceptable.
Yes.
And I remember the old ads, what was it, about for butter or something, or margarine, it was Mother Nature. That was, the whole big thing. And it was, so it's acceptable.
The whole thing was, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Mother Nature, there you go, Joe, you got it. That was the punchline. Yes. Yeah.
That was margarine.
It was margarine.
Right.
Over
right. Exactly. It wasn't parquet. You say parquet.
Yeah. I don't know. So, but yeah, exactly. It's not, that's what's comfortable, so they feel comfortable.
I know, we really are.
But you always know when you're sharing truth.
Yeah.
Okay. It's an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
Always uncomfortable.
Other than with believers.
Absolutely. Yeah, but, yeah, what did I say? Sharing the truth, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, ultimately it's with the unbeliever. When you're sharing that truth, there's a sense in your spirit, you know, that there's a battle going on there,
right,
that there's truth being revealed.
Yeah.
And it would be no different than if you spoke earlier about the sword, and you know, if somebody pulls out a gun, you're going to be like, whoa, what's going on? And mm-hmm. honestly, when you speak truth, you're doing the same thing. Yeah. You're bringing out something that shakes their spirit.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It says, whoa, you know? It says, whoa.
When you do it in that context, somebody says something that's part of their belief system, whether it's a conscious or unconscious mm-hmm. belief of theirs, and then you counter that, that's you're initiating a confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
It's better, I find, that when, like in Bill's case, his friend at school noticed something about him and kept coming to him and asking a question. So if I've had situations where, you know, where I work, it's basically a divorce factory, a lot of people, mm-hmm. and it's not a place where you can share your faith.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the, I've had several encounters over the years where people come to me and they're always saying, hey, so McGlynn, how long have you been married?
Mm.
And that means they're getting divorced or separated.
Yeah.
And so that gives me the entree in to witness to them, because now they're coming to me and asking right. for help.
Amen.
Because they notice something different.
Yeah.
And so it's now it's like I can let go with both barrels of the truth.
Mm.
And then I use the analogy of agape, mm-hmm. and eros, love, mm-hmm. the three different types of love. And I explain how my relationship with my wife is, my wife's my best friend, and I tell them that, and then I always finish with agape love. Mm-hmm. And then I say, you know, when Christ died on the cross, he said, you know, Father, forgive them. I said, that's the type of love you got to have in your relationship. You got to be able to forgive each other and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys, you know, you don't witness. You know, people think I'm a Christian at work because I don't use God's name in vain. You know, that's a pretty sad state. But the point being is that I found in the past that when I used to openly try to evangelize people, that it was just initiating confrontations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, versus if they see something, they ask you a question, then oh, game on.
Yeah.
You asked for it.
Yeah.
Here it
you
is.
Pray for that. You pray for people to ask you questions.
Yeah.
And if you're genuinely at peace, yeah, and genuinely happy, people are going to come seek you out, because this life is not a happy, peaceful place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be like, what's different about you, you know?
And nobody can confront you but with your testimony. You know, you're not saying, your life, look at you, you know, you got to change. It's like, look at me, look what God did to me. Then mm-hmm. that opens mm-hmm. the door. Wow, they start thinking,
mm-hmm.
I don't like what I've got going.
And then
tell me more.
You're talking about you were talking about when you're at that place of communion with God, and you're, you know, you've got that oneness,
mm-hmm.
or the communication
sure.
going. When you have that, and I don't have it right now, but I have had it in the past. But
sure.
when you do have that, you're able to look at people objectively. It's not a subjective
mm-hmm.
interaction right now. You can take a step back and look at them mm-hmm. as God sees them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not getting on your nerves. They're not in your face. You can be more detached, mm-hmm. which might even drive them crazier because they want a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll just keep them coming,
yeah.
coming
yeah.
to you.
It's so. True. It's true.
Oh, goodness.
You know, this kind of goes back to the question that we passed over. Why is Paul's prayer to be fearless a prayer also? And that's something that I like to pray, that God will give me boldness. And sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But I think that's one of the things down here, that we need to be bold when we can. And always realize that some people will accept it, others will just take it with a grain of salt, and hopefully that's a seed, at least.
Yeah, and the boldness can be not in a confrontational
yeah,
sense, but
exactly.
just in an unapologetic presentation
yeah.
of the
right,
truth.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
you know, you want to know, you know, they're not asking the question, what makes you so happy? Why do you sleep good at night? Why are you, you know, no yeah. one's that happy. Well, it's like, the point being, it's like, well, you know, I got a good relationship. I got faith.
Yeah.
You know, I sleep good at night because I know I'm right with God.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That's going to flip them out, and they're not going to handle
yeah.
that, but it's
yeah.
true, you know.
That's true.
Very true.
I just love the word unapologetic. That's
Yeah. That's the key, unapologetic.
That's boldness.
Right, yep. That's boldness. Right.
I got nothing to hide. Here it is. Yeah. Yeah. Now you can do with it what you want.
Amen. Exactly. Thank you. Wow. Amen.
Wow.
Thank you all. Verses 23, 24, as Paul concludes this letter, this is really a prayer. And it's his closing prayer for the people who are reading or hearing this letter, prayer for us. And what is he hoping for the people who have...
I love where he says, love with faith. Peace to the brothers. It's just this bond that we need to have as a church, to have this incorruptible love for each other and peace amongst each other.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's the full thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the whole thing. And he ends in sincerity. Mm-hmm. Which means if he's saying insincerity, that it easily can slide into something else. Mm-hmm. He's warning you that it can slide into just verbiage or, you know, not with your heart connected to it. So you have to be really diligent in receiving from the Lord what he has for you every day, so that you can be who you're supposed to be in the body.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
Sincerity of heart is a scripture that it comes to my mind. You know, sincerity of heart, because the Old Testament, you know, Jesus says, "They speak of me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me."
That's right. Yeah.
And there's that essence there that just as Eve was deceived in the garden, you know. That's the same deception that we have, that we live in this place where we can speak of godly things but become like a Pharisee. You know,
that's
where we have
so scary.
Whitewashed tombs, but inside we're just wretched. We're just we're just not cleansed. We're just not we don't have a place where that Spirit of God is dwelling. You know, he doesn't dwell in unholy places. You know, he doesn't dwell in unholy places. So. For us to, you know, Jesus says, you know, that if the light within you be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, that there's a warning there, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that sincerity, I think, is very, that's a huge, huge anchoring point to what's being spoken there to Paul as a closing statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a seriousness here that cannot be overlooked and examine, you know, and especially when you think about Paul, because he says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith, you know, and it just, there's a lot of this, you know, checks and balances within the Word of God to the believers, you know, that there wasn't this flippant thing. You couldn't be a believer and not be sincere.
Amen.
You know,
there's I read several years ago a great definition in the original language of sincere. It means to be without cracks. It was used in the pottery world. That if something, sometimes there were vases or pots or whatever made of clay, and the potters, instead of starting over or really repairing it, would just kind of glaze it over to make it look good, but the crack was still there. So to be sincere is without. I'm sorry?
No, I'm sorry.
Is to be without fault or without cracks, you know, is to be sincere. And of course, that meant sin means to be without, and of course, being without God is to be in that state of sin as well. So, but I love that, without cracks, that undividedness of heart, the undivided heart, the sincere heart. So Paul prays that for us, even today. Asks this for us. So, as we close, just a reminder again, we are not meeting next Sunday because it's Memorial Day weekend, but we will gather on May 31st, and Jeff has asked if everyone would review their notes. May 31st, 2 weeks from today. It's going to be our closing time of sharing. If you would look through the letter and look through your notes and just think about what God has revealed to you very especially, what was new, what was most meaningful, how are you different from having read Ephesians for this time. Any of those things, but this will be our time of sharing on May 31st, and Jeff will be back with us. So, Bill, would you close us, please? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time of looking into your word and sharing together. Lord, as Paul prayed, just let us be fearless in our walk. Mm-hmm. Let us just help us in our relationship with you, that we mm-hmm. we would just humbly seek you and walk with you. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just thank you for this season we've had studying Ephesians, and Lord, we just now pray for the service that's ahead, Lord, that your blessing would be there, that you would give the pastor the the message that you would have him to speak, Lord, and that you would just be praised this morning in your name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you all.